Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey folks, this is the Lakers Legacy Podcast, and we are proud to announce a partnership collaboration with a brand new podcast app. If you're looking for a new way to listen to podcasts that's a lot more interactive and fun, well, look no further than the Cooler Podcast Player on the Apple Store. The Cooler Podcast Player is essentially like Reddit, but curated and consolidated per podcast community so that you can join the conversation in a safer, more intimate, and less trolly space than other apps like X. And you can do so with other like-minded Lakers Legacy Podcast listeners. So grab a drink, make your way over to the Cooler, and join the conversation now by downloading the Cooler Podcast Player app. Make sure to add the Lakers Legacy to your queue and use the code LITLEGACY, that's L-I-T Legacy, to join the Lakers Legacy community page and get the discussions going. If you guys have any Q&A, mailbag stuff that you want to throw our way, do it there and we'll look at it and bring it up in a future episode. So the Cooler Podcast Player, listen, then speak your mind. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where, to quote the great philosopher of Street de Sesame, public humiliation has done nothing but mold me into the killer you see today. So sign the baby, this is Elmo's world, and we're all just living in it. Coco 5, D'Angelo! I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. And Tommy, I've told you this a million times since 2016, but you just never would believe me every single time I told you. Didn't I tell you D'Angelo was good?
You told me D'Angelo was good. You didn't tell me D'Elmo was good, though.
Oh, you are right. I didn't tell you that D'Elmo was good. But Tommy, follow-up question. Doesn't it feel so good to be so right on everything D'Angelo Russell related and be on the right side of history when it comes to D'Angelo Russell? Even when we were wrong about D'Angelo Russell, Tommy, somehow we were right. Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing.
So you feel good about that?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So we are here. This is the Lakers Legacy Podcast. The Lakers just beat the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. They are now 36-30. First time being six games above 500 this season. And also the first time that they've been above six games above 500 since like 2021, I believe, which is sad and insane at the same time. The Lakers are 12-5 since February 1st, 10-3 since starting the D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reaves, Rui Hachimura, LeBron AD starting lineup. They are now one game behind the eighth seed, 1.5 games behind the seventh, and two games behind the sixth with a matchup rematch date on Wednesday against the Sacramento Kings, hoping to find retribution then. But on today's episode, we are mainly going to be talking about D'Angelo Russell because we haven't been able to give we haven't been able to give our perspective on that epic masterclass of a game versus the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday. And yeah, this is going to be, I know most of you are like, yeah, your whole podcast has been dedicated to D'Angelo Russell all season, but this episode in particular will be the very solely D'Lo-centric, D'Lo-dedicated podcast. We'll talk about the Bucks game, but also give our little retrospective on following D'Angelo Russell's journey and just being right the whole time. It's so cool. But Tommy, icebreaker question before we get into the Bucks game and any of that, but was this the best D'Angelo Russell game you've seen him play in a Lakers jersey? Not just the points, notwithstanding just the points, because it's his highest total as a Laker, obviously, and his second most point total in his career. I think 50 points is his career high. But if I recall, weren't you at his rookie game where he scored 38 points and hit like 8 threes?
Against the Nets. Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Okay, so obviously, that was probably his high watermark as a Laker at that time. But yeah, like, quick question without getting into the specifics. Was the Bucks game the best D'Angelo Russell game you've seen him play in a Lakers jersey? Because you saw him play in person. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely by far the best. He, you mentioned the stats, right? And the stats are one factor. And the fact that he scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, that's obviously a factor. And I think the thing that keeps this, though, from like a sort of throwaway, write it off, like, oh, it's a guy who, a really good player who got hot one time, to sort of go away from that and into just like appreciating how great he played. I think when you could factor in the context, the fact that there was, we were playing without LeBron, we were playing one of the best teams in the NBA, and he just took over the game. It was like the way he did it, the fact that like when it came down to the crunch time, like he didn't back away. Like he was the whole reason we were in the lead, and he was the whole reason we thrived. And I don't know. I actually, the day after that game, by the way, I rewatched the highlights, and it's like you almost forget. I don't know. Maybe this is a function of me watching every game on DVR, so I go kind of fast, right? But like, you kind of forget that there was like a minute 20 when Dame hit that three and got fouled, and they went up by like five
it was
or
over.
Six.
I said, and it was I was over like, on Twitter,
okay,
dude.
So
I was
it's
like,
over.
This is done.
Like, yep. Okay, that was fun. Like, they got a decent effort, but now it's over. And D'Lo just kept coming, dude. I mean, he just like, that Giannis, that three over Giannis where he shot it to like the ceiling. I was like, okay, this dude is just trying to get the ball like off the rim or something so somebody can hopefully get a rebound. He like drilled it. Like he had the ball and same thing, like last play of the game. Like, I'm like, is he waiting too long? Like, what's he doing? And then he just like makes his move and he actually takes the shot, like make or miss, by the way. I think he took the shot with the exact right amount of time left. And he drilled that too, and it's like his floater game. He wasn't just like, I'm going to try to do step back jumpers all day. Like, he was keeping it diverse against, again, really good defensive team. And it was just like overall one of the best games I've ever seen from any third option next to LeBron and AD during this run.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy that you were at his rookie game, his 38-point game, where he also hit 8 threes. And people forget that they actually won that game because of D'Angelo Russell. He didn't just like score an empty 38 points. But it's funny because I feel like fans, even to this day, and media pundits to this day, still view D'Angelo Russell as that rookie D'Angelo Russell who got hot, scored 38 points, and hit 8 threes, right? Everything is under this prism of, he just goes on heaters. That's what he does. When he goes on that heater, you have a shot to win. But to your point, this game was so different from that game as a rookie when you could have legitimately said the dude got on a heater and kept it rolling. But in the Bucks game, and we'll get to the more specifics later, but the Bucks game was like wire to wire from start to finish. The dude had complete control of the game and was absolutely unrattled and unfazed in the clutch, which was like, so yeah, it was amazing to see and witness. So yeah, we will get into the game in just a second. But yeah, definitely one of the best, if not the best, D'Angelo Russell as a Lakers player game that we've seen. So before we get into the rest of our show, Tommy, I wanted to bring back an old favorite segment of ours. Maybe not by the fans, but it's just a favorite of mine. But I wanted to bring back our Apple Podcast rating and reviews readings. And this is a ploy to, once again, get people to please rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app. And also, if you can't do that, then give us a 5-star thumb tap on our Spotify, on the Spotify app, by searching the Lakers Legacy Podcast. But this is going to be another one of our review readings with, I don't know if people know this or not, but Tommy is an impressionist extraordinaire. He has the uncanny ability of being able to channel any player, any coach, anyone you can think of, and just nail it on the voice, the character, the personality. And so in the past, we've had him do our 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and read them out loud. Tommy, I want to kick things off, though, with a 1-star review. I know that's kind of, that doesn't make sense, counterintuitive, but you know, this is a D'Angelo Russell-centric episode, and as D'Angelo Russell says, public humiliation turned him into the killer he is today. So today we're going to use public humiliation in the form of a 1-star review to fuel us. So for today's Apple Podcast rating and review, please read it as none other than he ain't even stretched dough himself, D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, get the rust out of there.
This review is entitled Meh by Philo PB. They're pretty cringe over the top. Maybe your kind of show if you're an infant.
Oh, is that
That's it? That's it.
Straight to the point. Straight to the point, Meh. Thank you for that 1-star review, Philo PB, or whatever your name is. But first, Tommy, before I get into anything further, that was such an amazing rendition of D'Angelo Russell. You really captured his essence.
Thank you.
Can I ask you now, what went into your channeling of D'Angelo Russell to just nail everything about him?
I was just trying to imagine a man in an Elmo costume and how that guy would sound, and I channeled that.
Nice. Well, it worked. And now, Tommy, I want to ask you your comments on that review, because the joke's on him, Tommy, because we have a lot of infants listening to our show. And so I would like to call upon those infants to counteract this bad 1-star review and show him the power of infantry and give us 5-star reviews on the Apple Podcast app. But I don't know. Do you have any comments to say about this review?
This is probably the most accurate review we've read on this show.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue. If you want to make those types of comments, continue to do so, but just give us 5 stars instead so that we continue to build up our infant demographic. And this is getting weird. So let's move on to the rest of our show. Tommy, do you have any quick thoughts on the Minnesota Timberwolves game? Obviously, we have to shout out Anthony Davis. Happy birthday to AD. He is the only player in NBA history to put up the stat line that he put up last night. He was 2 blocks away from a 5x5, 27 points, 25 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, 3 blocks. And this is a game after his left shoulder was hanging out of his arm socket. And yeah, the dude had 10 offensive rebounds, Tommy. It was just insane. He didn't even have like a pretty offensive game, but it was just sheer will and activity from AD that I felt like was the complete opposite of what we saw in the Sacramento Kings game, where he was just uninvolved and phased out of the game. And in this one, AD, banged up shoulder or not, he was not going to be denied.
Yeah, it was. AD's performance was amazing. I mean, the 25-25 was more impressive to me than adding all the extra numbers and saying he was like the only person to do it. That was kind of funny. But, you know, the 7 steals, the, you know, 5 assists. I mean, he's just been doing everything for this team lately. And I think I saw some, I don't remember if it was The Ringer or just like NBA.com, but somebody had like their top MVP candidates this year. And AD was in the top 10. Somehow below Steph Curry. But he, you know, AD, I think that is kind of indicative of the season that AD has had. He's been like so dominant on the defensive end. And I think when the year started and he was taking a backseat offensively and was so dominant defensively, it kind of felt like he was gunning for that defensive player of the year award. And then now it's like, you know, things change. The context of the team changed, the way what the team's needs, you know, are kind of changed. And he was able to sort of adapt his game and put up one of the best offensive seasons he's had. Like, you know, we know the perimeter shooting from three-point range hasn't been there this year again, but he's been taking a lot more jump shots. He's been a lot more aggressive attacking the rim. He's playing more like an offensive two-way player and not just a defensive player who you really have to, like the only way he's going to get going is if you throw him lobs. It sort of feels like this chemistry he has now with, obviously, LeBron, but like with D'Lo as like the secondary playmaker and you know, the number of assists D'Lo and has had this year and the usage D'Lo's getting, like, it's sort of the best like passing option that AD has had, you know, since Rondo, to get him like his good looks. But anyway, you know, all that aside, like, it was just like a completely, completely dominant game. He went in there, these guys were missing their two best centers, and he just handled it. And that's what he was supposed to do, and he did it.
Yeah, it was a grimy, muck it up, just garbage man type game from AD. And yeah, that's the type of thing you want to see, where even if he's not like taking guys off the dribble one-on-one in this game necessarily, or hitting all of his jump shots, it's like, I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to make a difference on the boards, because these guys don't have Gobert, Kyle Anderson, Karl Towns, and I'm going to make that very apparent. And he did. I mean, 10 offensive rebounds is insanity. And he was just cleaning up left and right for his teammates. And yeah, to your point, his chemistry with D'Angelo Russell is impeccable, but also he's starting to have a growing chemistry with Austin Reeves as well. So yeah, really great game from Anthony Davis. LeBron James was back, played pretty phenomenally as well. 29 points, 9 assists, I believe, had that crazy dunk down the lane. D'Angelo Russell took a step back and ironically had a very Mike Conley-esque type of game and just did what he needed to do to help the team win. And it was perfectly fine. He's starting to really ramp up this pick and roll chemistry with Jackson Hayes that has just been so fun to watch. I mean, I feel like 80% of Jackson Hayes' points now are strictly coming from D'Angelo Russell no-look passes, and it's insane. So yeah, that's a good segue into going back in time and talking about D'Angelo Russell in the Bucks game. We already gave a little bit of our thoughts of how he controlled that game during our icebreaker question, but let's dig in a little bit deeper, because D'Angelo Russell, final stat line versus the Bucks, 44 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists on 17 of 25 shooting, 9 of 12 from 3. That's bonkers. He had 21 points in the fourth quarter. I think he's the only Laker besides LeBron James to do that this season. LeBron did it versus the Clippers, obviously. D'Angelo Russell is the only player to hit 9-plus threes with 3 different teams. In terms of overall three-point proficiency in history, D'Angelo Russell is like 11 threes away from breaking Nick Van Exel's single-season three-pointers made record of 183. He's at 173 right now. And then he is 9th all-time in Lakers history in three-pointers made. He is 5 threes away from passing Eddie Jones for number 8 and 26 threes away from passing Kyle Kuzma for 7th, which, health provided, he should do by season's end. And what's crazy about all that, Tommy, is he's done this in less than like 3 full seasons as a Laker. So yeah, probably the most proficient and prolific three-point shooter in Lakers history when you take into account volume and efficiency. He's doing this as a 42% three-point shooter. But yeah, first of all, the Bucks game, outside of D'Angelo Russell, what a game that was. It was back and forth, down to the wire. The Lakers had control of the game. To your point, when Damian Lillard hit that three and D'Angelo Russell fouled him, didn't it seem to you like we would end up talking about D'Angelo Russell the same way we always talk about him at that moment? Because he had done all of this good up until that point, and then defensively, he fouls Damian Lillard, and the game's over. Did you get that feeling?
I got that feeling, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, ah, shit. Nobody's going to talk about D'Angelo Russell having 40 points. They're just going to focus on, see, this is what I'm telling you. Down the stretch, you can't count on this guy. He can do all of this, but leading up to it, he'll do this at the very end and fail you. But no, that was not the end of the story, thank God. Rui Hachimura struggling the whole fourth quarter. I think he missed like 6 straight shots in the fourth quarter, and then hit his last one, the super clutch three that helped set up D'Angelo Russell's final heroics. And then, of course, Spencer Dinwiddie's game-saving block at the end of the game versus Damian Lillard was so huge. Loved the defense-to-offense substitutions that Ham actually pulled out. And Obviously, there was also a lot of drama with AD's left shoulder hanging out of his arm socket and essentially playing decoy for the last 7 minutes of the fourth. I feel like that is an underlooked aspect of this game. There was no LeBron James, but there was also no Anthony Davis down the stretch, even though he was doing a good job screening for guys and still trying to fight for boards. But overall, what a game that was. Epic masterclass of a game versus the Bucks that the Lakers pulled out. But going back to D'Angelo Russell, Tommy, I felt like, I don't know if you've watched the new live action version of Avatar on Netflix or if you've ever watched the anime version, but D'Angelo Russell to me in that Bucks game was the Avatar. He was mastering all of the elements at the same time. It wasn't just the scoring. It wasn't just the hot three-point shooting that we've seen before. It was the playmaking, the command he had on the floor. He had everyone on a string, whether his own teammates or the Bucks defense, and it felt like he was conducting an entire symphony to perfection. Save for one or two bad shots in the fourth, like D'Lo was literally manipulating the flow of the game to his will. He was carving up the Bucks in pick and roll, and it almost seemed like time stopped and time was moving so slowly for him, and he was moving very slowly himself, but it felt like he could pick out exactly the right play to make in every situation, whether it was to pass or shoot, and the Bucks had no idea what to do about it. And it's funny because if you just looked at the box score, you would say he hit 9 of 12 from 3, and you probably just say, oh, another one of those D'Angelo Russell heaters. And yes, obviously he was on a heater, but the thing that stood out to me the most, Tommy, was that D'Angelo Russell actually did not settle for three-point shots. I know that's an insane thing to say given he shot 9 of 12, but if you look back on his fourth quarter, well, one, his game-winning shot was a floater, right, that reached the ceiling over Brook Lopez's outstretched hands. But D'Angelo Russell could have settled for threes the entire game, and he could have relied on that at the very end to try and get the Lakers the win. But no, he carved the Bucks up in pick and roll and hit a game-winning floater, but he also had two other floaters in that same fourth quarter. So for D'Angelo Russell, again, this goes back to me saying it seemed like he knew what to do at every single moment of that game for the most part. And to know that, oh, this at this point, I'll take a step back three. Okay, this point, I'll drive and maneuver in the pick and roll in no man's land for a little bit and then loft up this high floater that nobody can get to because Brook Lopez is playing drop. Like, it's almost like in real time you could see D'Angelo Russell, this savant, calculating all the different scenarios and picking the exact right one each time. And I don't know, it was amazing to see. We've seen a lot of crazy D'Angelo Russell games this season, but not one that was that much of a masterclass. And to your point earlier, just the confidence and swagger that D'Angelo Russell had in the fourth quarter, I've never seen that type of D'Lo. Because this type of D'Lo, Tommy, he was not deferring. He said, give me the ball, I'll take us home. And it was so crazy to see LeBron James in the huddle, in the timeout huddle, telling D'Angelo Russell as they're yapping back and forth and yelling about different schemes and plays to run. LeBron was like, no, you take the shot. You take the shot. You know, and to see D'Angelo Russell take it and come through in that way, given all the context. Yeah, it was epic and it was amazing and fun and lit to watch. So, and even in the midst of that, to see D'Angelo Russell's character still come out and show that he's still, you know, this hilarious trash talker. There was that moment where he was mocking the Bucks when he got the and-one floater on Damian Lillard, and they were thinking about challenging the call, and D'Angelo Russell was like, yeah, challenge it. Go ahead, try and challenge it. And he was doing the motion to challenge. And yeah, all that to say, that game was everything for D'Angelo Russell. It was everything for the Lakers because they were coming off such a brutal loss and versus the Sacramento Kings. But yeah, any other things to point out about D'Angelo Russell's game versus the Bucks?
No, I mean, that was pretty thorough. But yeah, it's just like the overall, this is the type of game that it feels like the people, you know, I guess, I'll start with this. I know it does sound like this is the D'Angelo Russell podcast at times, because all we do is talk about how good D'Angelo Russell is playing this season. But I think part of that is, there's so much hate coming towards this guy for some reason, and especially like post playoffs last year. And it's like everyone is just waiting to be proven right. I mean, I guess we're kind of doing the same thing on the other side, right? But like
we're right, yeah.
Except we are actually are right. But it feels like everybody, right, after last season wrote D'Lo off. They had written him off when we first traded him, right? And we got him back last year and he had a pretty good run for us and then disappeared in the playoffs and so wrote him off again. And nothing was going to change their mind, right? And so the frustrating thing is this was the type of game that you would expect all those people to get excited about, right? Like, we were coming off of a tough loss where we we played just horrifically. It looked like we weren't even interested in playing, like, arguably one of the most important games of our season at that time against the Kings, right?
We were up by 19 and then we shit the bed after that, but yeah.
Exactly. So it's like coming off of this horrific loss, LeBron quit halfway through that game / got injured. LeBron was going to be out for this game. We're playing, you know, this really good team, second place in the East. They had just gotten completely spanked by the Warriors. And like, you figure they were looking for a little bit of revenge and they were, you know, had been playing really hot post All-Star break. A few former Lakers on there, so you figure there were some revenge games, you know, that were sort of due. And so it's like, the point is, this was the, like, game for guys to sort of roll over. And D'Lo did not roll over. He came in, before he even went on his crazy scoring bender in the fourth quarter, like, he was running the show the whole game. I mean, it felt like he had the ball in his hands the whole time. He was keeping AD engaged. And, like, you're going up against a team that has, like, you know, Damian Lillard, Giannis, Brooke Lopez, you know, even like, you know, obviously Beasley is someone you have to guard, but even like Jay Crowder, I mean, solid defender. These are like all veterans and, you know, among them, arguably the best player in the NBA and Giannis overall, right? So this was like not an easy game, and we are throwing out there in the fourth quarter like D'Lo and AD with one arm. I mean, AD was literally running around with like his left arm just hanging down loose. You know, I don't know what was going on, but so it's like when you factor in all that context, it's like the performance that D'Lo had was that much more epic, and we just want people to, like, you know, praise those as much as you know, for all the times that you're going to criticize like the games where he sort of disappears a bit. You got to praise these sorts of efforts where it was like it would have been really, really, really easy to just have this be a scheduled loss, and it was not because of D'Lo. And we came out of a pretty tough stretch of five games here at 3-2.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we'll get into more of the D'Lo narratives in the second half of our show. But yeah. It was just an inspiring sort of D'Angelo Russell performance, and I think emblematic and indicative of his season's journey, right? Where it's like, I mean, would you agree with me that even us as D'Lo supporters, there are times when we start to doubt whether our stance on D'Lo is correct or is right when you get into these situations, these clutch situations where you're like, all right, D'Lo, you just fouled Damian Lillard. Can you actually deliver? And I'm still finding myself being surprised at just how much D'Lo has grown and matured this season. And that game, I think, was a perfect encapsulation of kind of just his relentlessness throughout this season of, you know, having his back against the wall. And at this point, it would have been very, very easy for him, Tommy, to, you know, like, he's not obligated to carry the team. I mean, LeBron James is not there. Anthony Davis is on one arm. You know, like, the team was just about to trade him this season. Like, he could have done whatever he wanted to do at the end of that game and it be no consequence. But he literally put the team on his back and carried them through to the finish line. And yeah, what a fantastic showing by D'Angelo Russell. You know, in the nine games that LeBron James has not played this season, Tommy, the Lakers are 5-4, and a big reason for that is D'Angelo Russell's play. D'Angelo Russell in those nine games, Tommy, is averaging 21 points and 10.6 assists. People probably won't be surprised by that because he's been averaging 20 points all throughout, you know, 2024. But the 10.6 assist part is kind of what catches my eye, and just a reminder that when given the usage, when given the freedom and license to be a point guard, that's what D'Angelo Russell can do. He can take over a game. you know, like in the sense that the whole offense orbits around him, like kind of Luka-like or Kyrie Irving-like. D'Angelo Russell can do that in the right circumstances and the right context, you know, and he's shown us this year time and time again that he can do that. So,
and I guess like if your counter argument, right, to that is like, well, he can't do it every night. It's like, okay, great. So he's not like a top 10 player in the NBA. Like that's unremarkable, right? It's just like the fact is he's playing like one of the best players in the NBA currently and getting paid significantly less. And they're like, that's part of the game too, right? Basketball is not like they're not playing pickup. Like there are external rules outside of what is happening on the court. And like, when you factor all of that in, it's just like crazy to me that you can deny that per like dollar spent, D'Lo is having like an amazing, amazing season.
No, exactly. And he can't do that every night, Tommy, because he's the third option. And when LeBron James is on the team, that's what happens to third options. If you look at the third options on every team in this league, Tommy, D'Angelo Russell ranks at the very top of that. Like Bradley Beal is a good example. They're averaging pretty much the same numbers, and D'Angelo Russell has better efficiency and better playmaking stats on top of that, you know? So just keep that in mind. Yeah, exactly. And hasn't been hurt as much too. So with that said, let's take it to break. When we return, I just want to go through D'Angelo Russell's journey, our journey with him as a podcast, because we started this podcast when he was drafted. And yeah, just do a little bit more D'Angelo Russell retrospective introspection time, which we've kind of already been doing. So really, this is just me saying, let's keep the conversation going. So we will catch you guys after the break.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we are back. Tommy, I feel like this year with D'Angelo Russell has been, up until recently, up until 2024, to me it kind of felt like this season with D'Lo was like a weird mindfuck time warp where we were in a full circle time loop and transported back to 2016 or 2017, whenever D'Angelo Russell was drafted. Transported back to that time when we first started this podcast and we're trying to defend D'Angelo Russell as a rookie and contextualize his every single dribble and shot and tell people, remain patient. This dude has a doofus in Byron Scott as his head coach. He's not even being deployed properly. Ronnie Price is playing over him. You know, like, I don't know. I forget if Ronnie Price was even on the team at that time. But
that sounds right.
But yeah, we were trying to add context to D'Angelo Russell's development because he was such an odd, intriguing player in the sense that he's not athletic. His appeal is this slow old man's crafty game that doesn't necessarily entice people and catch their eye off the bat. And what's crazy is, Tommy, we're here in 2024, almost like 8 years later. And even in spite of the fact that we now have the stats and metrics and accolades to back up our claims of D'Angelo Russell. He was a former All-Star. When he was traded to the Nets, he actually led them by himself to the playoffs and won a game versus the Sixers in the first round of that playoffs. Last year, he averaged 17 points, 6 assists on 41% from three. Like, you have all of those stats. You even have his tremendous Memphis Grizzlies first round series, like his contributions in the Golden State Warriors series where he hit a couple of big shots. You have all of that, and yet it boggles my mind that if this year it still felt like we were still in the same place as we were in 2016 and defending this dude. But I guess what I'm trying to say here is D'Angelo Russell's growth in even proving the doubters wrong this season, he didn't even need to go on this crazy onslaught run that he's been on in 2024. He shouldn't have needed to do that to convince people that he was a good player. But unfortunately, D'Angelo Russell has never gotten the benefit of the doubt in his career. People have always scoffed and dismissed his stats, his contributions, his accolades, even more so now that he's back as a Laker. And for me, having D'Angelo Russell force people to say, oh, this dude's actually good and he's contributing to meaningful basketball, for me, that's been the most vindicating. And outside of the noise, for me, just watching D'Angelo Russell in a vacuum and seeing his maturity and his growth, like you've mentioned it before with respects to watching Rui Hachimura, but for D'Angelo Russell, and again, our podcast has been very closely tied to his career from the beginning, but this is why we watch basketball, Tommy, to see players grow, to see players mature, reinvent themselves, to see them tear down the narratives. Like, people always talk about the Western Conference versus the Denver Nuggets as if that series is the end-all be-all on D'Angelo Russell's prospects as a playoff player. As if D'Angelo Russell doesn't know his own shortcomings and isn't actively taking that in and trying to improve himself. As if D'Angelo Russell is this stagnant entity that has no agency in changing his fate. As if he can't improve from here on out. And judging from what he's done in this season alone, obviously, we haven't got into the playoffs yet. We're not sure if we're going to reach the Western Conference Finals, so there's still a lot to be written. But if you're just going off of what we've seen in the process, D'Angelo Russell seems like a guy who takes info in well, even his failures, and seems like a guy who can improve. So anything to say about D'Angelo Russell's journey here and like any satisfaction you get in being able to properly contextualize this guy without outright dismissing him because of this bad series, this bad game. And you know how it goes. The moment you start doing that, you easily snowball everything into this blanket statement that D'Angelo Russell has never been a good playoff player. D'Angelo Russell has always been a stats guy who has never contributed to winning basketball. And that's just simply not true. But once you get on a roll like that, the way the media pundits have, the way the fans have, it's easy to get caught up in this narrative bubble that D'Angelo Russell is a guy who goes on heaters. He just puts up stats, but at the end of the day, you can't count on him to win basketball.
Yeah, so I think like D'Angelo suffers from a problem that a lot of people suffer from in like frankly all different types of careers is like there's this thing where like if a job looks too easy for you, I feel like this applies even in my work. There are people who like the job looks too easy for them and they're sort of like you kind of develop a reputation for not being a hard worker. And it's kind of like a silly notion, right? Like, okay, like D'Angelo Russell, just looking at his numbers is putting up better numbers than any of us could have ever predicted, by the way, coming into this season.
Yeah, that's true.
By so we far were wrong. The best. Yeah, exactly. By far the best third option numbers, you know, LeBron and AD have ever had, like by far, right? And mm-hmm. And still people are like, well, it's like, it almost feels like people have this idea that like, well, it's all sort of like tenuous, like we don't know how firm this is and like it could go away at any moment. And I think people have that idea because it just looks easy for him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Pat Bev, he's a hustle guy. Look at how hard he works. Look at how hard he works. Why should it be remarkable that like somebody who's like less talented has to work harder to get the same or even lower results, right? But it's like your eyes kind of trick you and you see this guy like out there, like he's dogging these guys like 84, like, you know, 90 feet up and down the court. It's like, oh my God, he's playing so hard. Look how hard he hustles. And then you look at like the season defensive metrics and he's like an average defensive player. You know what I mean? So it's like that there are, I think people need to recognize that there are obviously moments where like the eye test fails you and can fool you. And I think D'Lo is like the embodiment of that in one player. Like he makes these like passes that almost look lackadaisical, but it's like they connect. You know what I mean? It's like these no look, like he's been doing that since Ohio State. He's been doing that since Montverde Academy. You know what I mean? So it's like for when we were looking back at like his high school tape, when we were like scouting him back when like, you know, this pod first started, as you mentioned. So So, you know, like this is just who he is. Like the easy kind of step back, like my feet aren't totally set. And it looks like he's just lofting the ball up into the rafters and then it comes back. Like I could see how, like, if you're just watching that, you're like, ah, he's just chucking it up. He doesn't care if it goes in or it doesn't go in. But it's like, it downplays like all of the little things that he's doing, all of the little recognition that he has on the court. And it's because he's able to do all these things so easily. Like, he's able to hit four threes every night, and we just sort of go like, okay, I guess he's just going to make his threes again, you know? And it's like, it doesn't feel the same. I think, like, the reason that Austin resonates with people so much more than D'Lo, just to, you know, again, these guys are teammates, not to pit them against each other, but, like, the reason why so many people are so quick to jump on the Austin bandwagon is because Austin is just, like, innately not as talented and skilled as D'Lo. And so he has to work harder to get the same result. And you can see that. Like, it looks like Austin is working really hard. So when he gets the results, it's, like, impressive. Like, when he had that crazy series of crossovers and spins against McLaughlin or whatever to, like, get this scoop layup against the Wolves. Like, that looked impressive. D'Lo is, like, doing these subtle little, like, crossover step back to create separation, going one-on-one with this guy, and he's doing similar things. It just looks different, and I feel like for whatever reason, like, D'Lo's methods just don't get appreciated as some other guys. I think, like, you hit the nail on the head with everything else, so I won't elaborate on that, but that was just one observation that I had is like, you know, with these guys that make the game look so easy, it makes it easier for your brain to sort of, like, downplay what they're doing, because it's like, it almost feels like it happened by luck or random chance as opposed to, like, actual skill that made it look that easy.
Well, to your point, his game-winning floater was the most nonchalant-ass floater I've ever
exactly.
seen.
It almost, like, it went in, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, it wasn't, like, something about his game, like, you just don't have that same, like, oh, my God, like, jump off the couch and explode excitement, you know?
I mean, I did, but the play was materializing so slowly because D'Angelo Russell was surveying the floor so slowly that if I had just taken that clip out and not told you what part of the game it was, you would have been like, why are you showing me this, you know?
It's like a first quarter clip, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I bring that play up because I don't know if you saw this post of mine on Twitter, but I juxtaposed that clip with the off-court work that D'Angelo Russell has done over the years on his floater. And if you watch the off-season workout video clip that I showed, he is throwing up this floater to almost the ceiling. That exact play, you see him in the workout clip doing it four different times in, like, at 2 miles per hour speed, Tommy. And you would look like, this guy's just dicking around, dude. What is he doing here? And then you see him actually do that exact same shot in game. Again, he hit three floaters in the fourth quarter, and you're like, oh, actually, everything he does in practice, which looks like he's just, like, joking this practice off in off-season work, is like, why is he throwing it up to the air off his palm 40 feet into the air? He's never going to use that in game. Here's the Bucks game. He's doing it as a game winner, you know? Or I'm sure people say that same thing. Like, why are you taking those no-dip threes in practice, dude? Here he is versus the Clippers hitting the clutchest three on a no-dip, you know? And he mentioned his rationale behind that as well, where he's like, I know I'm going to be getting these passes from LeBron James. I want to shoot that shot as quick as possible, you know? So to your point, the nature of D'Angelo Russell's aesthetic game to some people, because it's so slow and methodical and not as exciting, can give off that, you know, sentiment that he doesn't work as hard. It doesn't help him, to opposing fans' credit. It doesn't help him that he looks that same way on defense at times and doesn't give the effort on that end. I think it would be a different story if he was more of a lockdown activity hustle guy on defense. But Tommy, D'Angelo Russell is not the first offensive guard who's been bad at defense, you know? And it's just frustrating to me that over the years, and especially this year, it doesn't matter what D'Angelo Russell does offensively, what he does playmaking-wise, if he makes one defensive mistake or gets scored on by another opponent, it's always like, but this guy is bad on defense. They're always like, you know, basketball is played on two ends of the court. And yet they always seem to forget about the offensive part of the court that D'Angelo Russell is actually contributing to. And the fact that in the aggregate, he's still a net positive because of everything he does offensively. You know, of course, would we want him to be a better defender, move his feet better, be a little bit more athletic? Of course, you know, but as he said before, almost too publicly and blatantly, defense is not his game. all he can do is try harder. But yeah, with that said, for me, I don't know if you've like been tuned in to just like the national media's perception on D'Angelo Russell too. And I'm talking about like really smart guys like Zach Lowe, even Sam Vecenie, who's been on the show before. These are guys who look at the advanced analytics, Tommy. And do you have an answer to this question? Why does it seem like even the guys who typically do a good job of contextualizing the game and look at the data of five-man lineups, three-man lineups, oh, D'Angelo Russell is the second best cumulative plus-minus player on the Lakers. Even with all that said, these guys have access to these stats and are typically the ones who bring these stats up in support of underlooked players. Why is it that even smart guys like Zach Lowe continue to dismiss D'Angelo Russell in this way and call him a guy who just goes on heaters, is not a winning player, doesn't contribute to winning basketball, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm just glad that now D'Angelo Russell is forcing them to acknowledge his contributions. I remember the last podcast in which Zach Lowe was talking about the Lakers having sort of turned the corner. I kid you not, Tommy. He said, "The Lakers have turned the corner because they've finally done what I've always wanted them to do and play Rui Hachimura. They're finally playing their four best players, AD, LeBron, Rui Hachimura, and Austin Reeves." And I was waiting for the "and," but it never came, Tommy. I was like, okay, I too wanted Rui Hachimura to start, but there's a key ingredient missing here to what you're saying, and it's D'Angelo Russell. And for whatever reason, and again, he said in previous podcasts, D'Angelo Russell is playing the best ball of his career. It seems like he's on a heater. But Tommy, that whenever they say D'Angelo Russell is on a heater, to me, that's derogatory, almost like a backhanded compliment, because it connotates that that heater is going to die down and it won't last and he won't be able to sustain it. But throughout this year, 2024, guess what? D'Angelo Russell has sustained it. So I guess, do you have a theory on, you made up a good point of why fans downplay D'Angelo Russell, but why does it extend to even the media pundits who normally on different occasions, you're like, oh, these are the guys who will fight for my underrated, underlooked guy because they have the advanced analytics stats to look up. But for D'Angelo Russell, it's like, nah, flashy, doesn't play winning ball.
Yeah, I think it's like these guys are just looking for the narrative, right? And they've already decided what their narrative is for D'Lo, which is the narrative that we've seen for like countless like lottery pick level guards who take a while to pan out and are mostly like offensive players with no defense, right? It does feel, and I don't know if it's like, I mean, even going back to the Nick Young stuff when D'Lo was on the team, you know, and like all that, it's like hard to know how much that impacted his reputation. It's hard to know like really how any of these guys like off the court reputation impacts the way that they're sort of treated by the media, because all we get are these little like snippets, right? Like, we're not there when like D'Lo is snubbing Zach Lowe behind the scenes, right? And so maybe that offends sure. Zach Lowe and he needs to say something about it, you know. But it does feel like ridiculous. Like, a lot of these guys feel like they need to call it. Like, I need to call that Cam Whitmore is a good player when he is 19 years old in his third game, so that, like, you know, 6 years down the line I could be like, see, he was good, you know. But then it's like with D'Lo, he's past that point of his career. It's like there's no like saying a ninth year player is playing good well is like not clickbait material for these guys, and I feel like that's mostly what they're focused on.
Yeah, that's a good point. And again, until D'Angelo Russell hits the game-winning shot of a finals series and wins the championship, he will never be fully absolved in these people's eyes, because the narrative has been too built up on its own. It is an engine and machine all on its own, and it's up to D'Angelo Russell to slay all of these narratives down of him not being a winning player, of him only putting up stats against bad teams. He goes on heaters, but he's not actually sustainably good. Like, and it's been fun this year to watch him tear down each and every one of those bullet points, to the point, Tommy, where the only thing that D'Angelo Russell skeptics are holding on to is he can't play against the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, which is a scenario, Tommy, that we might not even get to. So they might always be right, you know? So it's right. Just like he's right. Killed. He's shot down everything else. Like, he only puts up good stats in meaningless situations and games, only plays good against bad teams, yada, yada. But anyways, that's going to do it for a D'Angelo Russell-centric episode. No, we are not a D'Angelo Russell fan account or a D'Angelo Russell podcast. We are a D'Angelo Russell is so important to the Lakers. Why is half the fan base so blind to this podcast? And that's all we've been trying to do. And it's been nice to see all of our yelling and hollering at the top of our lungs with regards to defending D'Angelo Russell this season. It's nice to see that come to fruition in a tangible way in actually helping the Lakers turn this thing around and maybe make another strong postseason push out of the play-in this year, hopefully. With that said, we will catch you guys next time. Please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app. And with that said, Tommy, I will catch you later.
Peace.
See ya, Elmo.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.